In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. No matter how much we try not to, we sinners always seem to gravitate back toward the law. We say grace alone, but that voice in the back of our head keeps saying, well, what do I need to do? So throughout history, otherwise pious Christians circumvent passages like this one from Hebrews and imagine that they can still be made perfect by keeping the law, or at least that it can't hurt. Whole religions and whole denominations are born out of this belief, the idea that we can make ourselves holy and progress toward perfection. How else can we explain the invention of grape juice or the insistence of some on observing Saturday as the Sabbath or Mormonism? And I only mention this about the Mormons because it's in the news so much lately, and also it points out our propensity for really messing up clear points of Scripture. The Mormons managed to take this passage from Hebrews and make a whole new rule out of it. They create a priesthood for themselves, treating the Melchizedek priesthood like a sort of graduation from the Aaronic priesthood, as they imagine themselves on a progress toward godhood. To get into this priesthood, you have to be really worthy, which means you have to do all the stuff that good Mormons do and carry around your temple card. Now, surely this can't be what the writer of Hebrews is talking about, because he's not writing about us. He's writing about Jesus. Melchizedek does not point to you. Melchizedek points to Christ. The author underscores this point as he quotes Psalm 110, "You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." It's a psalm about the Messiah, which Jesus himself makes perfectly clear. Jesus is high priest because he was appointed by the Father and given the title Anointed One. Jesus is forever because he died and rose from the dead, or as Hebrews puts it, he has become a priest not on the basis of a legal requirement concerning bodily descent, but by the power of an indestructible life. He is not a Levite, and yet he is a priest. He does not descend from the priestly tribe, but from Judah and the house of David. What this means for you is that he is your high priest, who made a sacrifice for you, who sprinkles you with blood to atone for your sin. He intercedes for you before the Father in heaven. In short, he does all the things that an old covenant priest would do. But Jesus does it in a new way, because he brings to you a new covenant and a better one. With this new covenant, your sins are forgiven. They are wiped away and forgotten. These are the sins that you continue to commit as the old Adam resurfaces day after day. Those times you failed to love your neighbor, that you selfishly put your wants before the needs of your spouse, when you disregarded your vocation as a student or father or worker. Without the shedding of blood, you would be doomed. Without sacrifice to the Lord, you would be cast into the outer darkness. But on account of Christ, you need not fear. For he has covered your sins. He has paid the price by becoming the sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This new covenant is sealed with his own blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. And unlike the blood shed in the temple over and over again, Jesus' blood was shed once for all. It's better because it's perfect. The sacrifices made according to the old covenant were imperfect. They could make you ritually clean. They could make you temporarily pure. But in reality, they were mere copies and shadows of the real deal. They only pointed toward Christ and the ultimate sacrifice. The body and blood of Jesus given up for you on the cross made all the other sacrifices obsolete, made the temple obsolete, made Israel and Old Jerusalem itself obsolete. It made purity laws obsolete. It made circumcision obsolete. It made matzah and Yom Kippur obsolete. It's a new covenant, a better covenant, one that fulfills the old. So when your unbelieving friends challenge you and come and ask the question, well, why is it that now you're allowed to eat camels and rock badgers and pigs and other clean animals? The answer is in Hebrews. We have a new and better covenant. And when your skeptical co-workers ask, why is it that you don't stone adulterers anymore? The answer is in Hebrews. We have a new and better covenant. And when your parishioners come to you insisting that Israel must be reconstituted and the temple rebuilt in order for Jesus to return, your answer is in Hebrews. You can turn to the book and say, we have a new and better covenant. For on the one hand, a former commandment is set aside because of its weakness and uselessness, for the law made nothing perfect. But on the other hand, a better hope is introduced, through which we draw near to God. That better hope is Jesus and his boundless love to you. Have them turn to Hebrews to hear that no one is saved by the law, to hear that no one is made perfect through the Levitical priesthood. Salvation comes by Jesus. Perfection comes through Jesus. It's his righteousness that is put on you in baptism. It's by the sacrifice of his body and blood that you are forgiven. It's by this new covenant that you are reconciled with God and able to stand in his presence. As he said on the night when he was betrayed, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. In the name of Jesus, amen.